Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
He's Dr. Austin Crowe, Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, joining us for our Inside the Training Room. Well, Austin, how's your brackets looking now that we're getting close to the Elite Eight and in the Final Four this weekend?
Yeah, I didn't have Clemson going.
Yeah. But, Alabama and Clemson. Yeah. That's why we love this time of year, right? Exactly.
That's right.
Hey, I know I tweeted this at you a couple days ago, but now we got another offensive lineman. He's a former Wisconsin Badger, but Ryan Ramczyk. There was a report from Ian Rapoport saying that the Saints are preparing for the real possibility that Ryan Ramczyk is medically not able to play this season, saying that his knee is not responding as they had hoped, and it's unclear when or if it will. Does it sound like almost similar to maybe David Bakhtiari, do you think, and maybe some cartilage issues with Ryan Ramczyk's knee?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sounds exactly like that. If you look at the picture, they did kind of a cool cleanup scope is all they released. So they didn't say that. Generally, that means maybe a little meniscal cleanup. Often it is kind of debriding or cleaning up some cartilage spots. But, I mean, you know, when they frame it like that, it almost certainly is a cartilage-based injury, which we've touched on those in the past. It can be a very, very challenging problem, especially in when you're dealing with human beings that are, you know, bigger than average, we'll say.
Now, just for a refresher for those, when it comes to the cartilage, why is it so difficult to recover from cartilage injuries?
Yeah, so super quick anatomy lesson. So the ends of the bone are covered by what we call articular cartilage. So it's a very special type of cartilage. The challenge is it doesn't really regrow. So once you injure it, it is permanently injured. And so that's actually basically the weight-bearing surfaces of the bone. And so if they're small, sometimes our body can get a little bit of what we call fibrocartilage fill-in. So that's when we do things like microfracture, where we're trying to get a little bit to grow back in. But when it's small, that can work okay. But once it gets bigger, you're basically beginning the process of arthritis. And so that's really what happens then. So they start to get pain, swelling, stiffness. And when that happens, unfortunately, then it often progresses. So it's not only that it's there, it often just becomes bigger and a bigger problem. And there are different techniques that we can try to restore it. So we call those advanced articular restoration. So you can do things like MACI procedure, which we've talked about a little bit. And I think that's what Bakhtiari ended up having. Where we basically take a little bit of cartilage, we try to grow more, put it back in. You can take plugs that we do. Those are called articular transfer procedures. But at the end of the day, it can never exactly go back to the way it was before. And so, it is. I mean, for orthopedic surgeons that deal with them, I mean, that's someday I think we're going to make advances where we can, you know, inject a stem cell or do something like that. The technology just isn't there. So it's really one of the biggest problems that we deal with is athletes, or anyone for that matter, that begins having articular damage at a young age, and it really can be quite debilitating. So it's not that they don't have, you know, the power or the stability. It's the fact that it just hurts, and everything they do is painful. So it can be a real challenge, and then it affects them in every facet of life, which is why it's such a devastating injury.
Does a lot of these types of injuries affect, you know, in the football world, offensive linemen more than any other position, or is it just because we've had a couple of really good offensive linemen, you know, going through this that they're getting the focus or the spotlights on that a little bit more?
It can be anybody. There's no question that there's some correlation with size as well. So, I mean, you see them in a really big athlete, so offensive linemen, you know, we see in the NBA a lot as well. I think that's because it's such like an explosive cutting, pivoting sport. Mm-hmm. And again, there's been some big name players through the years that have had careers cut short by that. So it can happen to anybody, but certainly in bigger people, it is just there's more stress on the joints, so they're more prone to have that injury.
I'm moving on to staying with football. I don't know if you saw this picture, Jaden Daniels, with Brandon, who's sitting across from me, is kind of chuckling now, but Ian Rapoport had posted a picture again of Jaden Daniels throwing, and he didn't realize it, but it looks like his throwing elbow, it reminds me of like our when we were younger and we had like Ninja Turtle toys or G.I. Joe toys, and you'd bend the arm and the elbow would look weird and something like that. I mean, it looks really gruesome, and people are wondering what's going on with his elbow. And I saw some people saying, could it be, I'm going to mispronounce it, Bursitis?
Bursitis.
Oh, dang it, I failed today. Yeah. So, but some people are wondering, is it that? I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at that picture, but
I actually have seen it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's got to be some kind of photo error, somehow. I don't know, because it doesn't look anatomically possible. I mean, you can get like a bursitis on the elbow. So basically what that is, let's talk about bursitis real quickly. So bursa is basically this thin, filmy tissue that we have in our body. We have them in a number of different places. Basically, it allows basically a lubrication layer to allow things to slide past each other. So we have it in areas where skin has to slide or tendons have to slide. And one of the places is the back of the elbow. So that's called the olecranon bursa. And so it can be prone to inflammation, but then it looks like you have like a golf ball. Sometimes it can be big as like a baseball stuck in the back of your elbow, but it just looks like that's got to be some kind of, I guess it could be that, but you look at it and it's hard to make heads or tails of it. It looks so funny.
Yeah.
I did see that because there's a surgeon that on Twitter that's commented on it, and so it went to my feed and I was like, yeah, I think that just is, I can't imagine his elbow really looks like that. That's my take on that one.
So for that type of injury, I remember Jordy Nelson had one after the Super Bowl. Are those types like kind of in the hinge joints where they kind of pop up the most, or can they be anywhere?
They can be anywhere. I mean, we have bursa on most of the joints have at least one layer of bursa, because when things articulate and move, again, there's areas that need to slide against each other. And so that's the way the body has been designed to allow that. And when it gets inflamed, it can be big. I mean, people who have really, really nasty bursitis, I'm sure there's plenty of people, of listeners out there that have had it. I mean, it can be almost like absurdly looking. I mean, again, we see people, like another place is the front of the knee, for example. I mean, I've seen them look like they're, a grapefruit, like that big.
Wow.
Like stuck in the front of the knee. I mean, it can be crazy. So it just fills up with fluid. The interesting part is it's generally not that painful. Now, they can be if they become like infected, or if they're inflammatory-based, but a lot of times it's just this huge, massive thing just sitting there, and you look at it, and you're like, what in the world? So we'll try. We can drain them. We can put steroid injections in them. Rarely we have to go and actually cut some of that tissue out. But interestingly, as nasty as they look, they really aren't that big of a problem other than cosmetics. And occasionally, like I said, they can get infected and things like that. But for the most part, they're just annoying, and we just have to deal with them, and they do go away with time.
Dr. Crow, inside the training room, Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, joining us this morning. So earlier this week, we had the NFL owners meetings, and they passed a new rule to ban the hip drop tackle, which, again, we saw, I think it kind of got really highlighted this week with some of the injuries. Mark Andrews was a big one, the tight end from Baltimore, with that. Did you have any kind of general thoughts on I know a lot of the players didn't like the fact that it was banned, and as a former player yourself, especially defensive player, at the linebacker spot, did you have any thoughts on that? Is there any correlation to hip drop tackles and increased injuries, or do you think it's one of those where it's like it's bad luck sometimes where the guy lands, the defender lands on the leg?
Yeah, I mean, that is, it's a challenging one. I mean, I think when you see a couple images of it, I mean, when they happen, they're gruesome, right? So, So just a quick lesson on hip drop. Obviously, that's where the tackler comes in, grabs usually around the waist, and then they drop their body down, and they're basically trying to drag the athlete down. The problem is as their momentum carries them in, they'll usually roll into the leg, and if they land against a planted foot, that puts a huge amount of stress across the ankle, and then bang, you have like a Mark Andrews ankle fracture. It happened to a couple players this year. So, yes, it can happen. Yes, it can be pretty gruesome to watch. But to try to legislate out injuries is a challenge, because it's going to, at some point, you have human beings trying to tackle other human beings, and it's a physical event. And so I don't know. I mean, when you see it, you kind of say, geez, it's nice that they're trying to remove a potential source of injury. But when you're trying to tackle a NFL athlete running, especially if you're coming from the side or behind, you can't horse collar, which I think horse collar is definitely a more dangerous type tackle. So you can't horse collar. Now you can't really grab them by the waist. I mean, I guess you have to kind of try to shoot their legs out. But I mean, guys got injured doing that this year too. I mean, TJ Hockenson hurt his knee, getting his leg shot out. So, I mean, at some point you have, again, very large human beings trying to hit each other. So it's just, I think it's, I don't know. I think it's well-intended, but I think it's going to just create another obstacle for defenders to try to stop athletes from scoring. And so I it's a mixed one. So I guess I really am wishy-washy on it. Again, I understand why they do it, but I do think it's just, you just can't legislate away injuries. And so to me, that's going to be, I think there are probably going to be some unintended consequences that it's going to create a different kind of tackle that, again, someone's going to start getting their knees and ankles hurt from people kind of, again, going low on them. And then maybe then all of a sudden we have a new injury to deal with. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. But that one may or may not stick around. We'll see.
That's what I was kind of wondering. Like, you know, do we get to the point where then you become, you know, that age-old question, like if you think too much or something like that, that's when you really get hurt, you know when you hear comments like that. And I don't know if that's going to be the case, you know, defender-wise. You're kind of like now you're running out of options or ways to to almost do your job. And then if you can't do your job, then you kind of lose your job, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, again, when they're in that position where they're tackling, I mean, they're just going to – it's going to put them in a tough spot, that's for sure. And so we'll see. I mean, it's – again, anything we can do to prevent injuries, I'm all for. But at some point, unless we turn it into touch football or flag football, I mean, there's going to be, again, these, you know, 200 and some pound guys running full speed trying to take each other out. It's just, that's just, there's going to be some inherent danger to that. And you just can't make that go away. But again, we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. To wrap it up here, I know I asked you about him a little bit ago because Hudson wanted to know about Julius Randle and Joel Embiid and that, but it sounds like Joel Embiid is going to be back before the playoffs start. So you're talking about a 7-week timeline since having lateral surgery on his lateral meniscus in his left knee. Is that a normal, typical timeline of recovery? And is there any concern about him going out there and maybe playing 30, 35 minutes right away?
Yeah, so that's consistent with a meniscal trim out or meniscectomy procedure. Because if it was a repair, he'd be out much longer, which we'd kind of talked about the first time his name came up. So, I mean, honestly, a lot of times with meniscectomies, again, just removing the torn piece, we do allow athletes to get back a little bit quicker. So his knee must have had some irritation along with it. And they just wanted to slow play it. And we all know the NBA is very focused on load management. And so they're definitely trying to keep the athletes out as long as they need to until the leg's fully recovered. So it's possible they had to remove a lot of meniscal tissue and they're just trying to let the leg acclimate to having less, you know, cushion. I hate to say it, but it's conjecture, but it is possible there may have been some cartilage stuff along with it. I will say this. Lateral meniscal tears are worse than medial meniscal tears because it's the shape of the joint. The medial side is a little more concave. The lateral side is a little more convex. And so it requires the meniscus to absorb shock more so. So when you lose lateral meniscus, you're definitely more prone to cartilage problems. So I really hope he doesn't go down that path because that could be a bad, bad sign if he starts getting lateral compartment cartilage stuff. So again, that's guesswork. But if that's the case, they're really going to be careful and see how the knee responds, and hopefully it's not that, and hopefully he bounces back. But I think if it is just kind of a normal, more normal recovery process, he should be able to ramp up minutes pretty quickly. But I guess we will see.
All right. He's Dr. Crow, Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Man, appreciate it as always, buddy. Enjoy the weekend. Happy Easter to you and your family and such, and we'll catch up again soon. Okay, bud?
Absolutely, you guys. Take care.
You got it. There you go. Dr. Austin Crow joining us here this morning for another edition of Inside the Training Room.